For many of us who've been involved in the struggle, this next brother doesn't need any introduction. Let's get it on, J2. Way you see.
Thank you very much. Before I get started with my presentation, I just want to say a few things. First, I left some literature up in the back on the left-hand side over here, which you're welcome to take if you're interested in our efforts towards establishing an independent party and toward the whole question of independent politics. Secondly, the Unity Coalition, of which I'm a part, we have a table here being directed by Sister Helen Cousins, and she's out in the lobby. The table is out in the lobby, and if you want any further information, or you want to get on our mailing list, or you want to make a donation or contribution to us, you can check out in the lobby at the Unity Coalition table. And thirdly, I want to say that I am in complete and total support of the effort being made by Brother Ron Daniels, and I intend to support that effort totally on a national level and to work with the effort for an independent candidacy in 1992. So I want to just say that before I get started. Now, to get down to the business of this workshop, I say yes, absolutely, it's time for independent black politics. It's been time, and it is time now. This thinking emanates from Malcolm's presentation on the electoral system, both in his recordings, speeches, message to the grassroots, and ballots or bullets. The ballots or bullets speech was made in Detroit at the convention of the Freedom Now Party and the Goal, which was a independent formation in that city to empower the African-American community in that city. And it was led by the Henry brothers, and of course we know one of those brothers as today Imari Obadeli, who is an outstanding activist in our movement for black liberation today. Malcolm exposed the Democrats and their affiliation and ties to the Dixiecrats, and he exposed the Republicans, and he challenged us that we might create vehicles to work in our own interests, that this would be the future of the electoral independent political strength of the African-American community. Not only Malcolm X during that period was an exponent of independent politics, but also people like the great sister Fannie Lou Hamer, who established the Mississippi Freedom Democratic Party, which had the effect of forcing the Democratic Party to recognize the contributions, to recognize the strength of the African American community. And today, as we look at the Senate, and I mean the Congress, in which you have a black congressman from Mississippi, as we look at the Senate, in which there's the potential to elect a black senator from North Carolina next Tuesday, I think we owe that to the independent tactics of people like Malcolm X and Fannie Lou Hamer. These tactics are beginning to bear fruit. Also, as we are studying independent politics, we must examine the independent efforts of the left in the 1930s, and of various labor and socialist formations like the American Labor Party in the 1930s that helped to elect blacks and helped to elect other progressives to office. So we must examine those efforts as well as we examine the whole movement of independent politics. In cities like in the 60s, in cities like Cleveland, Philadelphia, we saw independent formations. For example, in Cleveland, Carl Stokes in 1967 was elected the first black mayor of Cleveland. And that was basically because of the movement of independent politics in that city. In Philadelphia, we had the street vendors come together and organize a political force, which brought about the election of one of their members as a member of the state assembly there. And of course, in Detroit, there was independent political movement, as I mentioned earlier, with the Freedom Now and Gold Party. New York was quite late in its involvement in the independent black political movement. It was not until the mid-70s, mid to late 70s, that this movement took serious root in New York City and New York State. I remember the election of Assemblyman Albert Vann on the liberal line was the first manifestation, clear-cut manifestation, that we had, in fact, an independent political base in our community that was prepared to do meaningful and radical things to bring about changes in the political system in this city and state. No one previously had won an election on the Liberal Party line, running solely on the Liberal Party line. And Al Vann ran in the 1978 general election on the Liberal Party line against the Democratic Party candidate. And he defeated the Democratic Party candidate by over 1,000 votes in that election. That was, he said that when he went back to the legislature, his colleagues talked about him walking on water. That was the kind of political victory that that represented in this city. Since that time, we've seen the election of Roger Green to the New York State Assembly, another miraculous election. This election took three primary contests to win a victory for his candidacy. He had to run three primary contests against one of the most organized block of registered voters in this city, and that is the Hasidic community of Williamsburg. They represent one of the most organized blocks of electoral voters, and yet and still Roger Green, an African-American candidate with independent support from his community, won that election after the third trial. The defeat of the former mayor of the city of New York, Edward Koch, when he ran for governor in 1982, was another manifestation of the strength and development of independent politics. As you recall, according to all the pundits and pollsters, Koch was set to become the next governor. So much were they assured that they had their bags packed in City Hall and had purchased their tickets for Albany. But the independent force, which has its strength and its base in the African community, spoke on election day, on primary day, and Koch was defeated. And again, we saw this movement emerge. I think my colleague Ron Daniels has talked about the Jesse Jackson campaigns of 84 and 88. But Jesse Jackson, see, I think what most people don't understand was that Jesse Jackson was just shrewd enough to pick up on the mood, the national mood. He had looked around the country. He had saw that in Chicago, this mood had played out in the election of Harold Washington. In Philadelphia, this mood had played out in the election of Wilson Good. In Boston, Massachusetts, this mood had played out with the near election of Mel King. In Boston, they only have about 18% African-American population. But this population had come together, united the Latino population, and then they had gone to the other communities, had put together a coalition, and almost had Mel King elected in Boston. So this mood of independent black politics was raging in the country in the mid-80s, and Reverend Jackson saw that mood and rode that crest in the 84 and 88 races. And then finally, we saw that this mood delivered mightily in 1989 here with the election of David Dinkins as the first African-American mayor of the city of New York. Now, one of my students asked me a little earlier. He said, well, if you had that to do over again, do you think that y'all would elect Dinkins as mayor of the city again? I said, yes, I would. And let me explain this to you, especially to some of our younger brothers and sisters here. You know, one of the great African political minds of our times, Kwame Nkrumah, said that neocolonialism is the last stage of imperialism. And what he meant was this situation where you have forced your oppressor to give you a government that at least looks like you is better than when the oppressor can have such a disdain for you that he can even rule you himself. So I think that the fact that we have forced certain forces in this city of New York to at least give us a mayor that is an African American at least says something. I mean, to me, there's no question that Dinkins, as with all of his shortcomings, is a whole darn sight better and represents a step forward over Ed Koch. And so I want to say that if we had it to do over again, we would do it. But that this doesn't mean that we're going to stop simply because Dinkins got elected, that we feel that we've reached the mountaintop and it's time now for us to sit down and relax and we don't have anything to do. I see it just the opposite. I think that the election of Dinkins, to me, shows that within the African-American community that there's real political power. And what we have to do now is to move to organize that political power so that we can move to direct it in a way in which we can bring about meaningful changes in the lives of the majority of the people of our community.
All right.
I just want to say a few things about some of the principles that have to guide us. One, we always put forth the principle that we cannot absolutize a tactic or a strategy. And that, what does that mean? That means in struggle, we have to be somewhat flexible to certain tactics and strategies. We can't think that just because a particular tactic or strategy worked, that's the only way that we can use, that's the only way we can get to liberation. You see what I'm saying? We have to be flexible to say, yes, nonviolence might have worked in the South at a certain point in time for that struggle. But nonviolence is not the only tactic or strategy that can advance our struggle. You see, we have to have a flexibility in the selection and use of various tactics and strategy to advance our struggle at different times of our struggle and not absolutize any one of them. Secondly, we must believe in the principle that if they come for you in the morning, they will come for me in the afternoon. We must stop this thing that there's something unique about a particular person or position or personality. If they came to kill Malcolm X in 1965, you should have known they would have no hesitation in killing Dr. King in 1968. You see what I'm saying? So a setback to any of us, like some of us read in the papers about the attacks on MOVE in Philadelphia, in which they ended up bombing a whole neighborhood and a whole community. And I couldn't understand why there wasn't more outrage in the black community around the bombing of MOVE. I felt that a bombing of MOVE today would mean a bombing of me tomorrow. You see? And we have to understand that. We have the right as a people to have radical elements within our community, within our politics. And we must protect and fight for that right. And even though I may not belong to the radical organization, I protect and fight for its right to exist. Because if they outlaw that organization tomorrow, they're going to outlaw my organization the next day. And we've got to understand that. Thirdly, something that Rat Brown once said in the 1960s, and when he said it, many of us didn't understand it. He said that our politics must go beyond race. that being black is okay, but it's not sufficient. It's not enough. You know, some people think it's a big deal. Oh, I'm black now. Hey, we got to go beyond blackness. You see, because blackness, some people think it's very superficial. It's got to do with people's hair, or it's got to do with whether you wear a special t-shirt, or if you wear a certain thing, or if you wear a book or something. You got to understand that it's got to do with the way you act, the way you conduct your life, the political aspects of your life every day. So I hope we understand that these are principles. In 1990, we established the African Americans United for Political Power. And we stated that our base, as Ron had said earlier, must be in our own communities. You know, to me, it's pitiful. You see people running around here trying to organize some abstract person, and they can't even get together a meeting of three people in their own community. We were very proud when we had our Unity Party campaign that we were able to bring in over half of our signatures, 10,000 signatures from Brooklyn, from our communities in Brooklyn, because it showed that we were rooted, we had support, we had strength in our own communities. And this is what we have to do. See, we can't go sit at the table with somebody else and we don't have any strength, don't have any recognition, don't have any impact in our own communities. That's a fraud. That's fraudulently. You see? So African American United for Political Power recognizes that our first political base as African Americans must be among the African American community, must be among the black community of Brooklyn. And so then we can talk about coming together as a coalition. See, when we come together as a coalition with other groups, when we come together as a coalition with Latinos or Asian Americans or whites or whoever, we don't have no problem with that. Why? Because we know our thing is strong. Our position is together. You see, the reason why I see a lot of people worried about the coalition, worried about if this one is going to do this, is because they are weak. They don't have nothing. You see what I'm saying? But we're not worried about that because our thing is tight that we're coming from. Finally, I want to say that one of the things that I think is very key, and I've discussed this with Ron and others that are here from across the country, we're going to take this up as a national campaign immediately following this election day, is that we have a key national campaign in African American community to expose the wheelings and dealings of the New Alliance Party and bring this to our community so that we can begin to see through this group of people who are attempting to manipulate our people all over the country. I don't know how many of you know this. This is just some facts. But last year, in 1988, when Lenora Fulani ran for president, the New Alliance Party made almost $1 million off of her campaign from the federal matching funds. You see what I'm saying? And the only support that I knew that she received was from the African American community. So that means that a group of people outside of our community made $1 million from a campaign that was conducted on the backs of the people of our community. See? And see, we got to end this. We got to end this. Anybody exploiting our community, if it's not going to be exploited by the people of the community, then any outside force exploiting it, we got to end that. We got to put a stop to that. I'm sorry. As we are saying today that we want our own businesses, that we're against the outsiders coming in and exploiting us in the retail businesses, well, we got to be against outsiders coming in and exploiting us in the political arena as well. You see? So, I'm emphatically against any outside force, and that's what New Alliance is. It's an outside force. Somebody just said the other day they went to a fundraiser and they only saw about a half a dozen black folks there. That's because it's not a black organization. It's not rooted in our community. It's not led by people in our community. It's a force outside of our community who are trying to use some black people to manipulate and exploit our community. And we have to be clear about that. So, brothers and sisters, I answer this question affirmatively. We are ready for independent politics. We have to get involved with independent politics. This is the thrust that we must take in our communities today, and we must be prepared to lead the way in that effort. Thank you.